We're going to get to the scripture now in a second, but just as a brief recap, because it's been 2 weeks. I read some parts. I'm not going to read them again, but I read some parts of Dad Hagin's book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. The title of this message here today, please, is Do You Know His Plans and Purposes, and Are You Pursuing Them? Because the Lord said, read some of that book, and I want you to preach along those lines. And just as a very quick overview, every year, Dad Hagin would lay everything out before the Lord and take many weeks to just wait on him and pray and say, Lord, do I change? Do I tweak? Do I remove? Do I add? And he said, many ministers do not do that. They assume that what happened last year is what God wants to do this year. And here's the problem. When you do that, you get make mistakes. Because now you get out of the perfect will and then back into that permissive will. Permissive will means he allows you to do something, but he's not really 100% in it. And many, listen, I would venture to say the majority of Christians live in the permissive will of God. That's why they don't get healed as easy. That's why they don't get blessed as easy. There's very few that are actually wait long enough and have enough bold faith that when God does say to do it in the right timing, that they step into that. When they do, everything seems to work. Like Dad Hagin said, we don't believe in magic, but he said it works like magic and it just falls into place. But you've got to be in the perfect will and timing of God for that to happen. A lot of people don't, especially pastors that are leaders that need to have that. They just assume because they're busy, they're rushed. And that's how mistakes are made. And then they think the things aren't working right for them because the message is wrong. It's not the message. The message works. But if you don't position yourself to be in the perfect will of God and you're in the permissive will of God, things won't work right for you. I'm trying to help you because I'm your pastor. Now, I'm going to share some stuff with you today that is going to be a little bit embarrassing for me. And that is going to be a little hard for me, but I'm going to do it because the Lord told me to do it. And the Lord said, you do it because it'll help the people. So I'm not going to really care what you think of me. But what people do is that they don't wait long enough. They rush, they jump, and they make mistakes. And then they wonder maybe this thing, this faith thing, this financial thing, whatever. Maybe this is just a bunch of hogwash made up by some preacher. No, it actually really works. But you've got to be positioned for it to work. And the perfect and permissive will of God, where he talks a lot about that in his book, I would encourage you every year, read that book. In fact, later, if you have it, Peter, just put it on the screen later on. You know, it's going to take you a while to find that cover, but just take a picture of the cover, Peter, put it in a picture and put it up on the screen when you're ready. I want you to see what that book looks like, and I want you to order it. It's on Kindle. You can get it in our bookstore, but you need to read that once a year. He wrote that in 1987, give or take, or it was about 1987. He probably wrote it afterward, but it's when Jesus appeared to him. I believe it was the last open vision he had of Jesus before he went home, and Jesus talked to him about my plans. People don't fulfill my plans. They fulfill their plans. And the church at large is missing a lot of my plans because they won't wait on me and they make decisions quickly and out of emotions. And there's a lot of stuff in that book. Like, for example, don't clap. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Jesus talked to him and said, I'm displeased with my church. This is not a football game. They clap at the football game to cheer. He said, that's not what my word says. My word says lifting holy hands. Yes. Now, there's only one verse in the entire Bible that tells you to clap. And clapping is okay in certain situations. When you're in praise and worship, that's fine. But when God has done something like healed somebody, you don't ever clap that grieves the Holy Ghost. Yes, that's right. I was in a service recently and people started to clap when somebody was healed. I felt the anointing lift. Not here, another church. So, but all of that is in that book. See, it's a great book. You need to read that. But anyway, the point is that we need to take substantial at times, periods of time, despite our busy culture, and wait on the Lord. That's really what I'm trying to get over to you. We know that this is a great year. We know that God has said a lot about this year and a lot about the future years. But what's the point if we don't walk in it? We may know something is great, but if you don't actually step into it and actually experience it practically for yourself in real time, then all it is a bunch of words. Yeah. So the key is not just knowing that there's something great on the horizon and that we've stepped into a certain timing in this church. The key is waiting on God in prayer and making sure that individually and corporately we are in the perfect will of God. Because if we are, we will experience all these promises he's told us. And if we're not, we will be limited in our experience of them. So it's not enough just to know that great things are coming. We've got to wait on God and find out that perfect will. The Lord said to me, pray things out and pray things out. Yes, sir. Meaning, Really, pray things in is what he's saying. Pray out the plan. You know, you're laying the track. I want things to be prayed out, because if you don't pray things out, you're not going to be able to walk in them. The spirit has to go first. The natural catches up. We all know that. That's a very common phrase. But then he paused and he said, that's not really only the only thing you do, son. He said, pray things out. And he emphasized the word out, meaning there's stuff in that should be out. There's things that doing, assignments, things attached to you that I don't want. And there was a person, a minister, which I like. You know, they have a church. They're a good minister. But I was starting to get closer to them. And the Lord, and I've been praying. I don't know what out means. So I'm praying things. I'm praying out a mystery. I don't know everything. But as I pray out that mystery, now God can get over to me certain things. Now, this minister is not part of our group with Pastor Nancy. It's another group. Good man, though. Lovely man. Has a great church. And even though he's not part of our fellowship, he's just a nice person, and I personally like him. But, you know, and he's been talking to me about different things that they're doing and asking me to get involved. And so I haven't agreed, but I've been like, well, let me check. Because if you're not part of this flow, I really do check, because I don't want to get distracted. So, but I was actually planning on doing something. Planning on doing an event. And as I'm praying, remember he said, pray things out, but I don't know what has to leave. But I'm just praying in tongues. I'm just saying, Lord, whatever needs to go, I'm praying in the mystery. Now you got to show me what needs to go, because I don't know what needs to go. But if you show me, I'll do it. And I'm standing before that person just a couple months ago. I'm standing in December. I'm standing before that person, and they're and at that moment, I'm still kind of thinking, well, you know, maybe we'll get involved in this. Maybe we'll do that. And I heard the Holy Ghost speak a word to me as loud as I'm going to say it, exactly how he said it and the tone he said it. I'm looking at them in their eye thinking, this sounds good. And I heard his voice, divorced. Divorced. Just like that. It shocked me. And I'm looking at him, and in an instant, it felt like he was a stranger to me. It's like God removed any affection, any connection. It was gone in an instant. I heard the word divorced, meaning you're coming into some kind of a thing with this person. And it's not that they're bad, because I know they're not bad. But what they're going to try to involve me in, even from a good heart, is going to pull me away from the plan of God that he has for me, even though it's good and it's helping people. But just because it's helping people means nothing. Lots of people help people. The Red Cross helps people. But God said to me, divorced, meaning step back and never touch that again. And so I stepped back and I said, you know, brother, you know what? You know, I don't say, hey, God just told me to divorce you. I mean, you don't say things like that. So I just said, you know, brother, listen, I really appreciate all you're doing. And, you know, you got a great thing. I said, but I'm just in a flow here with Pastor Nancy. And I think it would take too much of my time. It would distract me. Oh, but no, no. I said, no, brother. And he's trying. And I'm just being passive aggressive. No, brother, that's fine. Because I'm not going to hurt his feelings. But I'm not going to get involved in something where God says divorced. See, I prayed that out. I prayed it out. Because if I got involved, because it seems good and it's helping people. You listening to me? I would have stepped in that area into the permissive will. And then what's going to happen, Jenny? It's going to start to grind. It's going to start to be hard. 6 months from now, I'm going to go, I don't know what it is, Mary Chris, about that thing, but it just annoys me every time I think about doing an event. You should pay attention when that happens, because it probably meant you got out of the perfect will of God, because it's when it is the perfect will of God, you never feel that. There is a flow. There is a joy. There is a peace. It just moves like a water, like a current. There's a velvety feeling. That's what you're supposed to live like. Most people are living in the permissive will of God. They don't even know what the flow feels like. They're just used to the grind. In fact, sinners even say it's a grind. Yeah, it's a grind because you're a heathen. But Christians should never live in a grind. But most Christians do. Because you're not in the perfect plan. You're in the permitted plan. Why? Because you jump without waiting. Well, whether it's helping you or not, it helped. It's helping me. Jesus said to Dad Hagin, if people would know my plans more, I could do more in their lives. But you got to know his plan. So last time I shared with you 2 weeks ago a lot about the international and about, you know, this boldness and about this Elijah thing and about, you know, this whole thing about the 5 years and being the hors d'oeuvre, and then 27 years, it was more than all that put together. And now the full plate is coming and miracle. I mean, I shared all that. I don't want to share any of that again. I've already talked about all that. I want to talk about promise of life. That was international. This is now domestic. And I want to share something with you that I don't really want to share, but I'm going to share because I think it's important. Why is most of the correction coming right now about this church and not about my international ministry? Because my international ministry just started. It's infant. It's just developing. I haven't really made any mistakes. I haven't been around long enough to make too many mistakes because it's only started really this year. But this church has been around a lot longer than a year, and we sometimes make mistakes because things seem good and they feel good. And then you get excited. And especially if you have a heart to help people, that can be a real negative. Because you want to help people. God wants to help people. But Jesus didn't help everybody at the pool of Bethesda. He helped one man. Well, what about the other men? Nothing is said about them. The Holy Ghost is not that he doesn't love them, but the assignment was for one. Sometimes you can't just help everybody. You can't just do a food bank because there are hungry people in Mississauga. Is that God's perfect will for us? If it is, we'll do it and feed every person and every cat. But if it's not, we're not feeding no one. And it's not because there's not hungry people that need to be fed. It's God has to show us what is our assignment. And if we do it, it will flow. And if we don't, it will be hard. Have I primed them, Jesus? Have I primed them? Have I primed them? Okay. So sometimes I have said things in the past, like, I'm sensing this because I am sensing something. Or, you know, Lord, I'm planning on doing this. I may have said to some of you, I'm planning on doing this, doing that. You know, I have this position for you on the Ministry of Helps. Maybe I'm thinking about bringing you on staff. Maybe this, maybe that. I just want you to know, throw everything out. If I said anything to you, I didn't say it. I deny, deny, deny. Everything is on the chopping block and everything is being reassessed because I got into a bad habit of having a lot of heart to help people and to want to change when I saw people struggling to want to try to help them in a lot of different varieties. And that doesn't mean it's the perfect will of God. I got involved in things that seem good, but that doesn't mean it's the perfect will of God. And because I failed in not truly waiting, because I'm telling you, in our fast-paced society, it's hard to wait. When you're sitting there and you waited for a couple of hours, you're like, this is a long time. And God is looking at you and go, well, that was about 3 milliseconds in heaven. You know, days is 1,000 years. So why don't you just wait a couple more hours? And then you get tired, you want to go, and then you go eat, and then you forget to wait. And then the pressure's on now, you have to make a decision. Well, I don't know, it feels good. Now, there is a measure you can follow that prompting. But on big things, you should not be doing it on it feels good. You should wait till you know. So everything's being reassessed. Can I tell you a story? Because staff have been reassessed. Different department, Ministry of Helps departments, I'm changing. Some I'm canceling. Some I'm making new ones because I have to reassess and make sure we're in the perfect will of God. And listen, on a church this size with this many departments and this many staff and this many things internationally and this many things with Pastor Nancy, plus IPM for the Israel, plus our Native Indian, which we're going to start to do stuff this year in the first. There's so many areas. It's going to take me weeks, if not months, to go before the Lord and wait on Him for every area to say, Lord, is this okay? And even then, I'm trusting I'm not going to miss it. But it takes time. So don't expect this is going to be next week because I'm going one thing at a time. And He's already reassessed a number of things and changed a number of things. But there's many more to go. It's going to be a process. But I have good news. I have good news. Really good news. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. And you better hurry up because it's 11:34. You're not leaving till 1:34. So just get ready for it. Okay. Lock the doors, visitors. You cannot escape. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's how you don't get people to come back. 1 Kings chapter 18. Real quick here. I just want you to see something, please. 1 Kings 18, because I want you to know why this is happening. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're getting in the perfect will of God. I'm telling you, we are. Now, have a look, please, in 1 Kings 18. This is Elijah. We're living in 1 Kings 18 now for the next number of years. It's certainly not the only scriptures we're looking at, but this is the prophetic kind of umbrella for this church for the next little while. This story, there's many symbols in the story, but I want you to see this now with me, please. And it says here in verse 30, 1 Kings 18:30. This after the prophets of Baal had done all their things and they cut themselves and their God didn't answer. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. In other words, God wants you involved in this, not just me. And all the people came near to him. You need to come near to me in your hearts on this subject. And he, watch, repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Then, stop reading, look at me. There's another altar that he built from scratch. But he first repaired the altar of the Lord. There was an altar and it was broken. He fixed that altar and then he went and created a new altar, which is what the fire hit. Are you listening? And the Lord said to me, because there's been a lot going on, and the Lord said to me last week, because, I mean, I'm working around the clock almost. There's so much I have to reassess. I'm going just constantly. I'm praying. I'm waiting on God, and I'm trying to make sure we don't make more mistakes. And so I said, and the Lord said to me when I was in the shower a few days ago, I was praying, and he said, son, did you notice there's a lot of organizing going on now? I said, yeah, Lord, there's a lot of organizing going on. He said, didn't that's what Elijah did? Elijah is, what is he doing? The fire didn't fall yet. The water didn't get poured yet. What did he do before any of that happened? The water represents prayer. I preached it the 3rd of January. Listen to that sermon. Listen to it again. But the prayer didn't even happen yet. What did he do? He took the old broken altar and he is putting in divine order. He is reorganizing, fixing, repairing, making what's broken and out of order into right order. And then he goes and makes a new altar. And the Lord said, there's a lot of organizing going on because you're doing what Elijah did in the first part of your Carmel year. You're putting things in divine order. I thought, oh, well, that's what's happening now. And he said, but did you notice, go in chronological order. He didn't make the altar first. He repaired the existing altar. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? What does that symbolize? And he said, the altar that already exists, that is broken down, that is the plan of God that you are walking in right now. The altar that is new, he said he went and structured and built a new altar. What is that? I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, because when you fix things that are messed up in what you're already doing, then you're going to go and I'm going to help you structure your life, structure your schedule, make a whole new approach to living that is all around prayer. But before you can start, and there's some overlap between the two, but before you can really start to change everything so that your life is revolved around prayer, because without prayer, we're not going to have a move of God. He said, fix the things you're already doing. So listen to me. Everything I've been doing has been repairing the altar of the Lord. I haven't even started building the new altar yet. Because what we are currently doing, the current altar, the current, you know, that altar represents the connection with God, but it represents symbolically the plan of God, what God is using in our lives right now. And it's some of it is broken. Some of it is out of order. And the current plan has to be tweaked, reassessed, and put back into the perfect will and get all the permissive or the out of will out. So he said, you are repairing my, because I was kind of feeling a little bit like, my God, everywhere I turn, you tell me I got to change this, do that. Lord, it's exhausting. And he said, Elijah felt tired too, because he's looking at a broken altar. I mean, physically, he had to grab those bricks. He had to move the junk away. He had to repair that thing that takes physical effort. And he said, it's a little bit tiring, but if you've got to do it, because you don't have the right to build the next altar, if the current thing that you're walking in with me is off. Yes. Yes. Not all of it is off, but some of it is off. And you've got to repair what you're walking in presently with me. You've got to get it straight. Yes. I said, okay, Lord. And we are making a lot of adjustments. But let me tell you a story. So this is good news. None of this is bad. This is good. So let me tell you a story. So I'm sitting there in early November, just after Jerry. Jerry came early November, just after I got back from Dominica. That's right. I was sitting here, I think maybe it was even in the Jerry meetings, I really can't remember. And I started to have an uneasiness in here. It wasn't indigestion, because I thought maybe that was it. It wasn't indigestion, it wasn't pizza. I didn't need gravel, you know, or Pepto-Bismol. Indigestion, diet. Okay. I could do the commercial for you, but I won't. Heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Pepto-Bismol. It's very good. It works real great. But I thought maybe it's that. So I drank a whole bottle. And I would not suggest you do that because I had effects after drinking the whole bottle. But I thought, what is this uneasiness? This is obviously not heartburn, but I mean, I felt uneasy. And what I felt uneasy was something is wrong with the plane. So my first thought is, I'm going to die. That's what I thought. Something's wrong with the plane. I'm going to crash and die. Maybe I should get it repaired. Maybe I should get it fixed. So I started looking into that. But that, I had them check it. Everything's fine. I still have an uneasiness. The problem is that the next week, the uneasiness got worse. And the next week, the uneasiness got worse. And then when I was in Israel, the uneasiness was so bad, I actually felt physically sick. Every time I thought about it, I felt like I was going to vomit. And I said, my God, what is going on here? Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. The plane is fine. I'm safe. I'm following the plan. I'm doing my pilot's license. Everything is good. What is going on here? But something, it was like a churning in my stomach, in my spirit is in my stomach area, my belly area. And so I didn't know what was, and I'm just so, listen, when you don't know, remember Mr. Universe, Dennis Tenorino, at the Marché at lunch with me, with everybody staring at him because he's a mountain of a man. He said to me, when you know, he's in Italian, when you know nothing about nothing, pray in the Holy Ghost. So when you know nothing about nothing, pray in the Holy Ghost. So I just said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but something is wrong, and I don't know what it is, and I can't deny something is wrong. So I just started mashtakata hushti, and I started praying. I mean, hours and hours and hours, day after day after day. I'm praying, no answer, no answer, no answer, but the thing got worse. The thing got worse. So now we have Christmas, we have New Year's, we come into the Holy Ghost meetings, we go through the whole week of Holy Ghost meetings, and it's every time I think about it, I actually had to stop thinking about it. I said, Lord, don't, I'm not thinking about it because every time I think about it, I feel sick. So I'm not gonna think about it. And I'm praying, Lord, I'm praying the answer. You gotta show me what is going on here. I don't understand what's wrong. But he didn't answer me. When he doesn't answer you, keep praying. Because he will answer you. And he doesn't always answer you directly. Sometimes he answers you through other people. So I'm praying, and it's just there. And on the last Wednesday, it ended on a Wednesday night. On the last Wednesday morning, Stephen Dufresne preached. Wonderful message. You should all listen to it. Excellent message. Excellent message on healing. He's really developing as an excellent minister. And so he was preaching, and I'm sitting there, and I'm at the lunch afterward. Pastor Nancy is turned. She's talking to Pastor Jean from Kenya. So she turned her chair. I'm opposite her, but she turned her chair. So she's not engaged in us. And there's all these ministers sitting at the table. Reba's sitting beside Jenny, and, you know, these other ministers there. And nobody, everyone's just kind of eating, and nobody's really dominating the conversation. And I don't know, it kind of got to a breaking point, and I didn't mean to say it. It actually came out of my mouth before I could stop it. It came out and I tried to grab it, but it was out already. Has that ever happened to you? And sometimes the Holy Ghost does that because he knows if he says, say something, you won't. Because you've just decided you're not saying it. It's not even his business but yours. And I would have said no. So sometimes it would just pop out because he just almost overwhelms you and it comes out before you can stop it because he wants it to come out. And it came out of my mouth, not loud. Jay Eberly is sitting beside me. Jenny's on my left. And it just kind of came out of my mouth, just not very loud. I just said, what is wrong with that aviation department? And I said it just like, what is wrong with it? And then I said, oh my God. And I tried to, and then I said, hey brother, what's going on with it? And I tried to, but Pastor Jay is just too smart for his own good. And he looked at me and said, what did you say? I said, nothing. I didn't say anything. What did you say? Nothing. It's your ears. I don't know. Check your ears. I don't know. I didn't say anything. He said, you just said something. I heard the word aviation. I said, I don't want to talk about it. He said, Pastor. And then everybody stops and looks at me, except Pastor Nancy, who's talking to Jean. Reba Rambo's looking at me. Everyone's looking at me. I said, leave me alone, Jay. I don't want nothing to say to you. And he said, tell me what you said. He started getting... I said, I don't know what it is. There's something wrong with my aviation department. I don't know what it is. I've had a grieving since early November, and it's getting worse, and I can't take it anymore. I don't know what it is. I've prayed. I don't know what it is. I said, I just can't take it. I can't take much more of this. And he said, well, I can tell you what it is if you want me to. I felt like slapping him. You haven't prayed. I've prayed. He said, I was praying for you all last week. And God spoke to me about your aviation department. Would you like to know? And I said, yes, sir. I would like to know because I'm desperate. I said, I would like to know. He said, it's very simple. You're not called to be a pilot. And if you don't quit this nonsense, it's going to distract you and hurt your ministry. He said it nicer than that, but that's what he said. No sin he stopped. Chris Cody, because everybody's listening. Except Pastor Nancy. Chris, because she's talking to another pastor, her chair's turned around. Chris Cody says, Pastor Craig, can I say something? I said, oh God. He said, Dr. Hadabaugh and I were on the phone last week praying for you. And God spoke to us individually that you better stop this thing about the pilot. It's going to hurt your ministry. It's going to distract you. It's going to cause damage to you. And I went quiet. And then I see Ike. Because Ike is very, very submissive. He's very sweet. And he's Pastor Jay's son. So he's very cautious, very honorable with what he says. And he says, can I say something? And I said, well, I'm sure everybody at the table has a word for me. So why don't you go next, Ike? And he said, Pastor, when I came and preached at your church in July, my eyes were opened into the Spirit. And he is a prophet, and he sees stuff that other people don't see. That God, that gift of the discerning of spirits operates on him more than other people. And he said, my eyes were opened in the Spirit, and I saw some things about your aviation department. And he said, I saw that you being a pilot is going to cause great damage to your ministry. It's going to distract you and it's going to hurt you. And I said, I looked at him and I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, that's not my place. I looked at Cody and I said, fool, why didn't you tell me? He said, that's not my place. I'm not over you. And you didn't ask me. I looked at Pastor Jack and I said, brother, we're brothers. Why didn't you tell me? He said, that's not my place. Well, great. I'm glad it's not everybody's place. But everybody seems to know more than me. As he says the words, it's not my place, Pastor Nancy turns her chair. And she's like, everyone's quiet, right? Because everyone's staring at me. There's silence on the table. You need Reba needed to start singing, you know, a perfect heart. I mean, we needed a perfect heart at that moment. And Pastor Nancy said, what y'all talking about? Nothing, Mom, nothing, nothing. What you talking about? I said, well, I just had a problem and these ministers are helping me. And, well, tell me what it's about. So I said, well, I said, there's just a problem with the aviation. And I said, these men, he said, and he, and I told her what she said, they said, and I said, Mom, you're my authority. So what do you think? She goes, oh, I knew that long time ago. And I looked at her. I said, you knew that long time ago? Oh yeah, I've known that for a long time. Oh yeah, it's going to hurt your ministry. It could cost you your life. And it's going to mess things up for you. I said, Mom, why didn't you tell me? You're my mom. Why didn't you tell me? She said, because when you came to talk to me, you were so sure of yourself. Are you listening to me? Yes. And I'm playing back in my mind because I'm sure she's wrong. So I'm playing back in my mind how that happened. And I remember the Lord brought it back to me. I remember I talked to her and I said, Mom, God spoke to me. I'm going to be a pilot. I'm getting a plane. I'm going to fly all over. I'm going to do it. I don't need no pilot. I'm an independent pilot. I don't need anybody. I'm going to just go whenever I want, not go whenever I want. What do you, isn't that awesome? I never once said, what do you think? What's your spirit tell you? I just updated her. I preached to you not to do that, but I did it myself, not even realizing because I was so sure that this was God. She said, Pastor Craig, if you're that sure, it's not my place to talk you out of it because that could be considered manipulation. I said, from now on, please, if I'm sure, just tell me. She says, no, I'll never tell you unless you ask me. And when you ask me, you can't be sure when you ask me. You have to have an open heart or my words will fall on dry ground. So she, and then she just, everybody listened and she talked very gently to me. She was very kind and she just explained why. And she's, I'm telling you, it was a very precious moment for me. I wish not everybody was there, but that's how it happened. And she said, Pastor Craig, she said, you have a voice to the nations. She said, there's a call on your life that is far bigger than your local church. And she said, we need your ministry. And then Pastor Jay chimed up and he said, I've been praying. God's been saying the same thing, Pastor Nancy, that he has a very important role in the body of Christ as at large. That's a pretty heavy statement to make. And she said, yes, he does. And she said, now, if you're going to be a pilot, you're going to, you know how much work it is. You've been training. You're 95% through. You know how much work and recurrent training you have to do? Flight plans, weather patterns, maintenance. She said, Craig, Pastor Craig, that is not your assignment. That is going to distract you. It's going to pull you away. And then when you're tired, now this, listen to me. She said, and then one day when you're tired, because you've just preached 6 hours over 2 days, and you get in that plane, and you're flying home by yourself, and you're tired, and you're trying to do your checklists, but you miss something. She said, you figure out the rest of the story. She said, it is not your assignment to fly that plane or any plane. Let somebody else who doesn't have your call do that. Your job is to wait on God and preach. I mean, she cleaned my clock. But as I'm sitting there, this thing I've felt for 2 months now, 2 months almost to the day, November to January, it just like it went, shoo. I felt like 10,000 pounds had gone. And I felt so free. I felt so at peace. But I felt so foolish. I felt so dumb. You know how hard? I don't want to whine to you, but do you have any idea how hard I've trained? I'm 95% through my pilot's license. I've got 2 maneuvers to perfect, and then I do the final exam. I've got 10 hours worth of training left out of hundreds, well, not hundreds, but 150 hours I've done already. I'm the only pilot in the history of that school that took the training course, which is 211 lessons, and wrote a book about it. I wrote a book about the training course. I can show it to you. It's 110 pages, every line, single spaced, 8.5 by 11. I took every lesson and I wrote every major. I memorized it. I got 100% on my test of what was on that thing. I mean, the guy said, he said, there's something wrong with you. He said, I've never seen anybody take this so seriously. You wrote a book about the course? The course is already a book. Just study the book. Why did you write another book? I said, because that's how I memorize. I have to write. I have to type. I have to go over. I mean, I worked harder than any student, he said, I've ever seen in this course school over years. He said, you were one of the most diligent students I've ever seen. And I said, I'm doing that because my wife is in the plane with me. My children are in the plane with me. It can't be theory to me. I have to know it. I have to know it. And how many hours I put landing that thing and taking and going in bad weather and learning emergency procedures and learning the radio and talking on the radio. And I'm telling you, I have worked my tail off. And I've got less than 10 hours to go. And this thing happened. And I said, Lord, why don't you let me finish it and then do this? Because at least I've accomplished something. I can say I finished it. I don't like quitting. I don't like quitting halfway through. I hate that. I got to finish what I start. That's the way my mother raised me. Finish what you start. And I said, Lord, why couldn't you tell me this later? He said, because you've never been in my perfect will, and I'm trying to get it over to you that you're out of my perfect will, and I want you to stop. God don't care about finishing it. He cares about his perfect will. And then I'm teaching you some lessons whether you're listening or not. Learn from my mistakes. And then he said, do you remember Randy came up with the plane, the new plane, his plane? And he said, I've never seen the devil attack something in my life like this. That's what he told me. And the shaft on that thing broke and they had to fly it back to Tulsa. That's why he couldn't bring it up the first time. We couldn't dedicate it the first time. That has never happened in the history of this company over 50 years. Never, ever has that broken. And he said to me, he said, I know there's a devil involved here. But he didn't realize what was going on. He knew the devil was attacking. But he thought it was because this is just a frontal assault. Yeah. But after this happened, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the reason the devil was attacking. He said, the reason the devil attacked is because you cracked the door. When you get out of the perfect will and into the permissive will, the door is cracked. It's not open. When you get out of the will altogether, you open the door. Then anything can happen to you. But when you're in the permit, what God permits, but it's not really what he authored, you crack the door just a little bit. But devils, just like cockroaches, they'll come in through that little opening. And he said, that's why I almost died in the training. That angel, my wife got up that morning. God said, there's something going to happen. Put that angel, put that blood. And I'm telling you, that engine died twice as we were landing on my trainer plane. And the guy told me, he said, if you had gone out over Lake Erie, which was the plan, and we just did one quick circle just to make sure everything was good, which we don't normally do. Wow. We just go. But he said, I just feel we need to do a circle. Thank God he did that because it died twice in the circle. And we glided in. That's dangerous. Okay? And then now they checked the thing. They said, no, this thing's busted. It's broken. If you had gone out over the lake without doing that circle, he said, this would have died over the lake. This is in February with frozen water. He said, the mechanic, he went white. He said, you would have gone into that lake.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I didn't even know the emergency procedures at that time in my training. I wouldn't even have been able to call on the right channel to say, Mayday, 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 going down. I didn't even know what the channel was. You understand how serious that is? I would have had to call them back in the place where the FBO is. But sometimes that guy's out doing errands. They're not always by the desk. I would have said, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. No, there was a good chance nobody would have heard me. I would have gone into that lake at what, 2 degrees, 3 degrees? You get hypothermia in less than 4 minutes. And how are you going to swim in that? You have no idea how close I came to dying that day. And it's because God, in his permissive will, he will still protect you and help you as much as he can. But because you cracked the door, devils come. I didn't know I'd cracked the door. But that's why those things happen, because you're outside that place. Thank God, God preserved, because God will work with you in the permissive will as much as he can. That crack broke. That's never happened. That's those devils that are affecting because there was a cracked door. And I didn't know it. Because I was so, I had prayed. I felt it good. I felt peace.
Come on, Pastor.
But you know what? I'm learning that on big decisions,
yes, sir,
when you drive on which highway to take, just go with that peace. Mm-hmm. But when you're making a decision to become a pilot that could kill you, maybe you should go on more than just, I just feels good. Maybe you should wait and pray until you know that you know that you know that you know. And then when you're sure that you know, cancel all of that. Go to your spiritual parent and say, I'm not sure.
Yes, sir.
Even though you are. What is your counsel? Because they may know something that you don't.
Yes,
and I didn't do that. That was my failure. If I'd done that, she would have told me. And don't judge Pastor Nancy. She's not to blame. She don't talk unless you ask, because there's a divine order. It violates divine order for a parent, in this case, to dictate without the open door. Do you understand? So I just want you to know that's a very valuable lesson that I have learned. And so I'm not being a pilot. Some of you that are looking for a new pastor would like me to be a pilot so that you can get another pastor. Because I'll go to heaven early. And part of me thought maybe it would be better to go to heaven early, because I'd rather go to heaven than be here. The heaven is glorious. This is not. But this is not that. No, this is my assignment. This is my plan. People like it. People don't like it. I really could care less. Did I waste a lot of time? Absolutely. The permissive will of God always wastes time. Did I spend a lot of money that was a waste? Absolutely. The permissive will of God always costs you money. Did I burden myself unnecessarily? You bet I did, because the permissive will of God is a burden to you. It's not light and easy. Woo! But I'd rather humble myself before you and before God, before the ministers at that table and before my mother, and say, I missed it, than get in that plane and die. And when I flew down to see Randy Greer about a couple situations, the plane being one, just on Thursday I was with him. He said, come with me, Pastor Craig. He said, we're going to solve all the world's problems. And I said, well, it's going to take more than 2 hours to do that. And we drove together just real slow on this country road in Florida. And I just talked to him for 2 hours, and he talked back to me. And when I explained all this to him, because he's helped us from the beginning, and I needed his agreement, I needed his approval, I felt like I'd let him down. And he looked at me, he pulled over, he sparked, and he looked at me and said, now look at me. He said, I tried to warn you, do you remember? I said, I know, don't even talk about it. He said, do you remember I sat you down in my office, I read you that scripture? Do you remember I warned you? I said, I think you're too busy, I don't know if a pilot thing is the right thing for you. And you said, but I know. He said, do you remember that? I said, I know, I remember that. He said, I was trying to get over to you, son, that I just don't think this is right for you. But you want it so bad. So I didn't want to dissuade you. So I said, okay. But I told you. I said, I know, brother. I missed it. I just missed it. I just missed it. I'm sorry. I just missed it. And I never even wanted to be a pilot anyway, but I just felt that was what God wanted me to do. I felt that was the plan. I just felt it was part of the plan. And he looked at me and he said, if you're in the permissive will, which obviously you are, that's why all this stuff was happening. He said, I just thought the devil was attacking you. He said, now I see the devil was attacking you because you allowed him to attack you. He said, he looks at me right now. He said, if you fly a plane in the permissive will of God, you will get killed. He said it right to my face. He said, I cannot allow you as an overseer in your life. I can't make you. but I'm giving you counsel because I was asking for his counsel. I already knew because of the thing in California, but I just wanted to include him because it's honorable to include him. And he said, I'm warning you, if you're in the permissive will, you don't ever fly a plane on your own, because he said, it's only a matter of time. You will be killed. The devil will kill you. He said, he's got that crack and he will exploit that crack. And he said, just like Pastor Nancy said, there'll come a day where you're so tired, you're not thinking straight. You make decisions, bad decisions, and all of a sudden, one bad decision can kill you. So he said, I'm proud of you for humbling yourself. He said, I'm 100% in agreement. Tell your congregation I'm 100% in agreement. You should not be the pilot of this plane. And I'm glad. I said, but I wasted so much time. And Pastor Nancy said to me, yes, you did. But Pastor Craig, she said, listen, you got a great education. You know now a lot about planes. She said, if there ever was an emergency, you could help. If you're keeping the plane or another plane in the future and you got another pilot you're paying, you at least know some stuff they should be doing so they can't cut corners with you. She said, it's never a waste to learn from one perspective. But she said, from another perspective, you missed it here. So I just want you to know, Randy Greer's in agreement. My spiritual parents are in agreement. And I don't like missing it. But what happened was I got that spirit of intercession came on me years ago to pray out for aviation. And I said, Mom, I prayed. I had the anointing. I groaned. I'm telling you, I knew it. I birthed it. I birthed it. I know I did. I groaned for 45 minutes. You can't make somebody do that. I said, how do you explain that? She said, oh, that's easy to explain. I said, well, then tell me. She said, when God is giving you an assignment, it's always in seed form. She said, what you did is you birthed out that thing and you thought God put a tree in your heart. And then and 2 days later, after that happened, I bought the hangar. And she said, you picked the fruit. You harvested your crop. But she said, God doesn't put a tree inside you. God puts a seed inside you. And she said, seeds take time to grow. She said, birthing out is fine, but it's a seed. It's not for now. The seed may grow faster than other seeds, but it takes time for that seed to come and for that plan to be revealed and for the timing of it and for the perfect will of God to come. She said, it can take years. But she said, as soon as you prayed that out, you thought it was the fruit to reap the harvest. You bought the plane 24 hours, the thing 48 hours later. You said, how I missed it there. She said, you thought it was a tree, but it was a seed. God put something in you for aviation, and there is something for your ministry for aviation, but it's probably not now. It's probably something that is in you and it's going to grow over time. And at the right time, he'll say now. Yeah. But you said now as soon as it was planted, thinking it was a tree instead of a seed. I said, but hold on, hold on, hold on. That angel helped me get that hanger. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? If it's out of God's will, why did the angel help me get the hanger? If it was out of the timing. Because angels work to a measure in the permissive will of God, but not fully. They will help you as far as they can, but in the perfect, they help you 100%. In the permissive, they'll help you as much as possible. So yes, that we did get favor. That angel did help because it's still permitted by God, but it's not fully blessed by God. Are you with me? So I'm trying to understand, how did all this work? How did all this happen? How can I, if I missed it, why did God seem to bless me? Well, he'll bless you as far as he can. Dad Hagin said in that book, he'll bless you as far as he can in the permitted will, but it's never full. Okay, and I have to close, but I got to at least give you principle number one, because I'm teaching principles about the scenario that's changing my life. Yes. I'm only going to get to one, but I'll do the rest later, and I'll go real quick. It's 12:04. Just give me a couple more minutes. Principle number one is picking up the lack of joy and peace and not just the sick feeling and dread. What do I mean by that? Listen, this is what he said to me, because this really rocked my world. Do you understand? I came home from that Holy Ghost meeting as I was seeking God. Like, I'm like, Lord, how did I miss this? What? And so he's teaching me. That's how the angels work, because they work in the permissive will, but not fully. So you birth it out. It's a seed form. It's not a tree form. Just because intercession comes on you doesn't mean you start doing it right away. So I'm learning these things. But I come home and I said, Lord, why did this only happen in November? I've been training for over a year. I could have saved all that time. In other words, what I was saying, not accusatory, why didn't you talk to me earlier? That's really what I was saying. I'm just being polite, but that's really what I'm saying. Why didn't you talk to me earlier? And the Lord said something to me I want to help you with, because it really helped me. He said, son, when I give you an assignment, there's always a grace for that assignment. In this case, the pilot's thing. He said, if those graces or anointings, they have joy and peace, velvety feelings attached to them. Now listen to me. He said, if it's the perfect will of God, perfect will includes the timing. If it's the perfect will of God, those graces will come on you usually before you start the assignment. You can feel that grace come on you even though you haven't even started it yet. He said, but other times, as you step out in faith, the grace comes as you do it. That's as it starts. Now listen to me. I'm teaching you something that cost me a lot to teach. This is a precious price I've paid to learn this. And most people don't talk about this. They know, but they don't always teach on it. He said to me, now this is, I don't like to give an exact day, but that's how he said it to me. He said, if in a short period of time, I said, what does short mean? He said, 30 days. If in a short period of time, after you start an assignment, check your spirit for the grace, for the peace, for the joy, for the anticipation, for the velvety feeling, for that, this is good. Check. Because if it hasn't come on you shortly after starting, you're out of my perfect will.
That's right.
And it's easy, my brother and sister, to miss the perfect will. Believe me, I've done it. It's easy. And not just in this, in many areas. It's easy. You can miss it easy. Fear can make you miss it. Pressure from people can make you miss it. Financial things can make you miss it. Emotions, excitement, joy of your soul, not of your spirit, can make you miss it. A lot of things can get you out of that perfect will. He said to me, if in a short period you do not feel that grace on you, that anointing, that joy and peace after you've started, he said, go back and check. And this is, so he really answered me. What he was saying to me was, listen to me. He said, if you had checked your spirit when you started training, you would have realized there was no grace. And I said, Lord, explain that to me. And I'm telling you, he's a counselor. He's like a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah, he's better.
Capital P. And he said to me, do you remember when you'd call your wife on the way from the Hampton Inn to the airport in Jamestown? I said, yeah, I called her every time I went to train just to say hi. And he said, do you remember what you'd say to her? And I kind of didn't. And he had to remind me. He said, do you remember you'd say, I hate doing this. I hate doing this every single time. And she'd say, honey, it's okay. Just keep going. Don't quit. And I'd say, I hate doing this. I know it's the plan of God, but it doesn't feel good to me. And I'd get up and I'd fly. The next day I'd feel that, not dread, just. And I thought it was my emotions. I thought it's because I don't want to learn. You know, you're up in that little plane and that wind starts going and the whole thing is shaking. It can be a bit scary. So I thought, I'm just being a wimp. And then I would tell myself, tough it up, Craig. Be a man. And I'd quote scriptures to myself. Quit ye like men, Paul said. Now I'd quote that to me. Quit ye like men. Stop being a wimp. Get out of your emotions. Right. This is plan of God. Go and do it. Yeah. I know you don't want to study, but sit down and study that book and write that book on the book. Do it. No, I pulled myself up. Yes, sir. I'm saluting myself in the mirror. Yes, sir. But no dread, no sick feeling, but I didn't slow down long enough because I was so sure to see, is there a grace on me for this? Because if I had, I would have learned very quickly, there isn't. And then I would have gone to reassess and I would have said, hold on a second. If this is assignment from God, if this is the perfect will of God, I should have a grace for it. There should be a joy and a peace. I should be excited about going to that airport. Why do I always feel like it's a drag? I'm in the permissive will of God and I don't realize it. I'm trying to help you because there's situations in your life you need to apply these principles to. May not be piloting for you, but it might be marrying somebody. It might be the job you're in. It might be the house you're going to buy. You better pay attention. These are principles that can help you. Then the Lord said to me, I'm almost done. He said, there's a curve, son. And I saw this thing, this curve. like a S-shaped curve, kind of going up like that. And he said, at the end of that, you know, you can see like a chart. At the end of that line, he said, the season of mercy ends. And then I saw a dotted line past the curve. It went like an S and then a dotted after that line. And I said, what is that? Because I'm seeing it in the spirit. And he said, that's out of the will of God. He said, if you get to the dotted line, that's how the devil kills you. He said, now, listen to me. I'm helping you, whether you realize it or not. He said, spiritual people of which you're not. That's what he said to me. He was mad at me. You're not. You're carnal in this area. Spiritual people check at the beginning of the assignment. And then they reassess and they get out of it to get back in the perfect will. But you didn't do that. You had to be tough. You had to be macho. You had to push through. So he said, you went with no peace, no peace, no peace, and it starts to escalate. Now what's happening is the lack of peace starts to intensify. Intensify. He said, but you didn't notice it till you were halfway up that curve. Now, he said, watch what happens. He taught me this. He said, when you get up to the upper part of that S curve, upper part, he said, I intensify the feeling to the point that you feel sick. If you're spiritual and if you have a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, you won't even get what I'm talking about because you won't even feel that. But I'm talking to people that have a prayer life. Because that's the only way he can lead you is by your spirit. If you have a prayer life, you'll be sensitive. If you don't have a prayer life, you won't even pick up what I'm talking about. Then you're really finished. He said, when you get to that top portion, I intensify it to save you. I make you feel total, not just a lack of peace, total dread, total sick feeling, because I'm trying to shake you and say, pay attention. Something is wrong. You're in the upper echelons of my permissive will. And if you cross that line, you step into the out of my will, and then the devil's got full access to you. Now listen to me. He said, if you violated, he talked to me after the fact, if you had violated that sick feeling and you had pushed through, I'm going to get this license. I'm going to finish what I started because I was trained that way. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to not waste money. I'm going to finish it. He said, if you had pushed through, the devil would have an open door. He would have tried to kill you in that plane. He said, it was good that you paused and you waited on me and you stopped all training. Because but he said, son, you did it up here. Doesn't take much spirituality to figure that out. He said, you should have done it down here. You shouldn't wait for a sick feeling. There should be enough to say, I don't know if there's a grace on me, if there's an anointing on me. Because if there was, I would have joy. Yeah. Why every time do I drive to the airport and I don't feel joy? Yeah. See, it's such a small thing. And you can talk yourself out of it to say, come on, yeah. Yeah. Be tough. You're just lazy. Yeah. Come on, not everything's about prayer. Just do your job. Do the lesson. Come on. You see, that's what I was saying. You see, and it sounds noble, doesn't it? Yeah. Like I'm a good work ethic. Like I'm really being disciplined. But don't ever be disciplined in violation of your spirit. Because my spirit had no peace. My wife didn't pick it up. I didn't pick it up. I'm just focused on what I think is the plan. Because I interceded and birthed it, but I didn't realize it was a seed, not a tree. It's not for now. It's for later. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If check your when you're doing things, is there peace? Is there joy? If there's that grinding, that something's hard, something's, I don't know what it is. It just feels like gravel road instead of paved road. Something, I don't know what it is, but something just doesn't feel right. I don't have that excitement, that joy. Then stop and go back to God and say, Lord, is this job right? He might say, no, you did it because I offered you more money. You missed it. Well, now what do? I've already left my other job. Stay in the job, wait on me, and start looking again. I'll give you the right one. But don't keep going on that job when there is a sense of, now listen, I'm not talking about laziness. You may not like your job because you don't like your job, because you don't like your boss, because you don't like what you're doing, and that's lazy, that's emotional. But in here, there's peace. Follow the peace. But if you're doing what you're doing and there's no peace, even if you love what you're doing, there's no peace. Yeah. Please pay attention when there's no peace, because it shows that you have stepped out of God's perfect into what God is permitting, but he's not really fully behind it. And he'll work and protect you as far as he can, but not fully. Angels will work, favor will work, but not fully. And there'll always be something not quite right. But if you keep going, look how kind he is. You keep going, it just get worse. That's why I say praying in tongues is a great equalizer. It don't matter where you miss it. Just keep going. Just keep going. It'll get worse. It'll get worse. It'll get worse because you're going up that S curve. And when you get to the point of something is wrong, I don't know what it is, you better stop what you're doing. You better pause that relationship before you get married. You better stop. Stop. Because if you violate that, you'll cross that border of the mercy season. You'll get into the dotted line. Now you have totally now you've not only violated the perfect will, you've violated the permissive will. Now you're in the out of will category. And when you're doing that and you're proceeding despite a dread in your spirit, you are an open target for the devil to hurt you. That's how people get in accidents. I'm not saying that's the only reason. Don't think that if you got an accident that that's you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's how these things happen in people's lives. They get cancer. They get problems. Things don't work out. They wonder, this faith message don't work. It's got nothing to do with the faith message. It's because you are out of the will of God. And the devil has access, no matter how much you apply the blood, that precious blood which has power, but when you're out of the will of God, it cannot work for you the same way. You understand? You can notify angels. You can release your faith. You can command in the name of Jesus. It will not work for you the same way, because everything has to be in the right position for it to work for you. So I learned a very valuable lesson about this first principle. Follow the peace, not just the dread.
That's right. It's good.
Follow the uneasiness. Don't wait for it to be sick. Go on the lower part of the curve. Don't wait till you get to the upper. And don't ever continue when you feel dread, because you'll pass that boundary, and that's where major, major problems happen. God can protect you still in the permissive will to a measure, but he can't. He has to take his hand off of you when you get in the out of the will of God. Are you listening to me? This is one of six principles. I sat with God for almost a whole day. And I said, Lord, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I feel like I've let you down, my wife down, my church down, my spiritual parents down. These ministers all think I'm an idiot now. And he said, no, son, they don't think that. And actually, a lot of them came back and said, your humility in this really helped me. Pastor Jay texted me and he said, I'm so impressed. He said, because it takes a spiritual man to recognize they've made a mistake, to humble themselves, and to not care what anybody thinks, because you want the will of God more than you want people's approval. And he said, I applaud you. He said, you did the right thing. He said, this is an example to all of us. And Pastor Nancy's never judged me a day in her life. She's not like that. Neither is Reverend Greer. So, and I if you do or don't, that's your business. But I hope you understand my heart. I'm not trying to make bad decisions. I'm just saying I fell into something. All of us can fall into it. I hope that if you have, you'll get out. And this first principle is so critical, so critical, so critical, so critical. When I went to Haiti, remember, who was with me? Were you with me? Remember when we went there? See, I didn't know that back then. I just knew something was wrong. Then on the roof, we got sick and all this stuff. And then God said, you're out of my perfect will. Yes. But you see, I remember when we crossed that border.
Yes.
I thought, something doesn't feel too good. But that's okay. We've got authority.
Yeah.
We got rights. I got tired of rights. You see, you can take all the sermons and misquote them.
Yes.
But something inside didn't feel too good. See, what I had done is the peace had departed, but I didn't have a dread, because I was on the lower end of the S curve. But now I'm in the permissive will of God. That's how that sickness, that's how all that stuff, nothing happened in Dominican Republic, but it all happened in Haiti. Why? Because as the leader, I got out of the perfect will of God. Do you understand? That's why when I go to these countries and it's dangerous, I have to know that I'm in the perfect, perfect, perfect will of God. Because when I am completely safe. But if there's an uneasiness before I'm making the plans, I better listen to that. In fact, there's one trip that I'm planning, because I was invited to another country, and I thought, well, that looks good. I have a hole in the calendar I was going to do it. So I was texting the guy to say, I'm open to do that pastor's conference if you want. But inside, there was something that just didn't feel right. And I was pushing through it, because I want to help people.
Yeah.
And I heard the Holy Ghost say, haven't I just taught you with the plane? Haven't I just taught you this? What? Hun, buddy, you're in the bottom of the S-curve. Don't wait till you get to the top. You feel that? Something doesn't feel right. I said, yeah, I feel that, Lord. He said, don't go to that country. So I called an appointment with the pastor to be respectful, and I'm going to meet with them in a couple weeks, and I'm going to say, I can't go to that country. I'm sorry. I know there's a great opportunity, and there's a lot of people there. Man, there's big, thousands of people. I mean, it could really put me on the map. I don't care about the map. I care about the will of God, and I'm going to say, I can't go. Maybe God let me go next year. Maybe God let me go the year after, but I can't go this year. Something doesn't feel right. But when I think about India, perfect peace. When I think about Liberia, perfect peace. When I think about Israel, perfect peace. But when I think about some of the other places, there's no perfect peace. So that's the permissible. You go to the permissible, they can put you in prison. Yeah. I'm trying to help you understand. Don't marry somebody. That's why you date a couple times. You're not dating to see how cute they are and how good they kiss. You're dating to check your spirit, buddy. You better follow that. If there's a lack of peace, you better watch it. How do I do it with my job? Because if I take the job, I've got the job. You can know in your spirit before you take the job if there's a peace. Yes. If you don't have a prayer life in tongues and a worship life with God, you will not even pick up whether there is a peace or not. Why? Because you're mental dominated. You're feeling dominated. You're emotional dominated. And everything is how you feel. But what you need to do is look here. That's why the more you pray in tongues and the more you worship, the more you get in the word, you'll develop the spirit man to the point where you'll pick up, oh, there's no peace there. Ah, I'm on the bottom of the S-curve. Get out quick, get out fast. Yeah. Amen. That's good. And if you keep missing it, it'll get worse and worse. Okay. Pay attention. Get out faster and get out quicker. Don't ever keep going. That's how you end the problems. That's one of six principles. I hope you come back next week for the other five. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless you and I thank you. Lord, yes, we make mistakes, but we'd rather get back into the perfect will of God than have damage done. I thank you for those ministers that's picked it up, even though I didn't. I thank you, Lord, for this whole scenario, even though it's unnecessary, it's disappointing. But Father, it's a good learning lesson for me, for my long-term future, and for this precious congregation. You want us in the perfect will of God, and we get there by waiting and having an extended prayer life so that we don't make mistakes, so that things work for us, so that this message of faith actually produces fruit for us. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. We thank you and we praise you.